All right, so does anybody remember the Batman game?
Which for
we're done all this. We've done all the Spider-Man games.
That was all the Spider-Man, all 9,000 of them.
Which Batman game?
I'm trying to think. Like I
so,
can't.
So there was a Batman and Robin one. Is that the one? Answer.
Oh yes, it was totally. It was the Batman and Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, that was the one based on the. Because there's a Batman and Robin, and then a very different Batman and Robin game, I think, for Super Nintendo that came out. Because you would get that occasionally, that they'd have the same name, it'd be very different games. And I don't think we played that one.
No, we didn't. Yeah, this one was based on the animated series.
Yeah, but both were based on the animated series. And you're like, it's a great job as far as the graphics and looking like the animated series and the openings and all this stuff. But the problem was, again, I'm pretty sure this was Shinobi, and they just put these sprites over it because it was just... tons of villains in it, tons of stuff coming at you super hard, and lots of ninjas. You know, there's a lot of ninjas in the games we played, actually.
Yes.
Ninjas showed up a lot.
It's like there was a million billion ninjas.
They were a go-to bad guy for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I thought this was, I was like, oh, this game looks like it could be fun if it wasn't so damn hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very hard. I didn't get very far enough, that's for sure.
I mean, I kind of like the music, but it was a ripoff of the animated series.
Well, it's not a ripoff, then. I mean, it's based on the animated series, so it's
still that.
It's loyal, is what that is. Loyal. Yeah. It's like the opposite of a ripoff.
What else we got here, Brett?
Wicked. Well, there's a couple left. Well, we'll talk about the Punisher.
Yeah.
Now, the Punisher.
Game of the. Oh, easily.
It's too bad you didn't play this one.
It rocked. Because
this was, there was the, of course, and we had put it in there, the arcade one, and couldn't get it to work, and I wanted to see how faithful it is, because it seemed incredibly faithful. Because if you'll remember the arcade one with him and Nick Fury, the arcade... It was made by the same people who made that Vision Captain America Avengers one, and it was a lot like that, but updated. Great graphics, super smooth animations. You could get guns and shoot people in this, beat them up, and just all sorts of great stuff. Oh, so smooth and so well balanced. You felt powerful. You could take out people, and yet there was a good challenge. This was awesome.
Well, and the thing that I liked about it is that, especially in these early games, there was different levels. Like you could go forward and kind of backward on the screen, like deeper and stuff. There was depth in the game, but the problem was that if you were on a different level from a character, you could literally just punch, and you would, and they could be beside you, but you're not hitting them.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. This one, at least if you had the gun and stuff like that, even if they were on a different level, it was targeting it, and so you would actually hit them. So you had a chance for success.
And a variety of weapons.
Yes.
Oh, a ton
you,
of them.
You had the gun, you had the bat, you had the axe.
Knife.
Yeah. Knife.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
A lot of fun there. My one thing is, I don't remember at any time in the comic books Punisher running out of bullets. And that happens a ton in this game.
I have to balance it a little bit. One of the things that gets me about this one is I played this at work during a lunch break, and I invited a guy over to play it with me. And so Kelly comes over, and we're playing it, and he's like, well, who am I? Who's this guy? I'm like, well, you're Nick Fury. He's playing it for a little while. He goes, wait, the black guy from Avengers? And I'm just like, oh, sigh.
We got to fix that somehow.
Awesome. I know.
That's awesome.
I mean, this appeared like a great game. The one thing that amazed me about this, and I guess I don't remember it from playing these or playing video games originally, but there's so many two-player co-op games.
Yeah.
And I just don't remember there being that many two-player co-op games.
That's because you had no friends.
That's right.
That's fair. I mean, who was he going to play them with? You?
Me? Yeah, that's who he was playing them with. Actually, I think we were so busy playing Contra for the Super over the Rayland Nintendo for every single moment of our lives.
There is no
between
reason
that
ever
and Madden. Yep. Yeah, between that and Madden, the Madden for your computer, the old...
Yeah, the original Madden.
The original Madden, the very first Madden, yeah. that was like block characters and yeah, like
so old.
No, yeah, exactly.
When it was Joseph Madden's,
pretty much, yeah,
old timey football.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It was footy not ball. The football, you know.
Footy ball.
It was out on the computer only, and
ye oldie footy ball.
Yeah, it didn't keep stats, but you could print the stats from every game and then keep your own stats and add them together. We did pages and pages of stats and create your own league.
Because it was one of those old dot matrix printers.
Oh,
and so at the end of it, it would print off, like, it would literally be like a 10-page.
For like one game.
For one game. And I would sit there listening to, like, Iron Maiden, and I would just sit there watching the game, marking tackles. And then, because
they didn't keep those,
and then
the bills they didn't keep, so those we had to keep ourselves.
Yeah, I would print off the stats and just put it off to the side. I think we managed to get through one season, like this. You know, I mean,
I'm trying to imagine that in your head. That's not as geeky as playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, remember the same thing we had.
It's way more solitary.
Remember we had the that's right. This one, well, sometimes I'd be there helping you with it, but remember also the same thing we had Tony La Russa baseball, which was a great baseball game, but it didn't keep any stats. And I'm like, I want my stats kept, and you're like, well, you pay, I'll watch you, and I'll keep your stats. So that I would play and bat, and Brett would mark down everything and do everything, and we did like a whole 162 games like that. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know why.
Yeah, we were,
Suddenly, playing strip poker on my Commodore 128 doesn't seem as much of a waste as it did 10 minutes ago.
Well, actually, I don't think we made a whole season.
Let's have an off-topic aside.
We haven't done that already.
What is the geekiest thing that you kept track of? Well, these guys may have already done theirs.
I don't know that I can ever beat... sitting there doing that.
I had a complete, in a database, because the school had database software, so and I had to put it onto a floppy disk to keep the file. I had a complete database of every paranormal in all the New Universe comics.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Which was because I wanted to relaunch the New Universe when I became a comic book writer. And, so I needed that research.
I gotta say, besides that one, I used to... because I'm a big wrestling fan, obviously, co-host We Talk Wrestling still to this day. And so I used to have my He-Man figures from when I was like 8, 9, 10, 11. And I would have them wrestle. I never had them fight in like a tourney. I just had them in a ring. So I had this thing that used to, you know, you put your feet on when you're sitting on a chair. And it was square, so that was my ring. And so for like 4 years straight, I compiled every match and win and loss for all these like 40 characters I had. And whether they won by count out and who was the champions and rankings. That was crazy.
My little brother did that.
Yeah?
My little brother and my older brother. But my older brother was, like, way too old to play with toys, so I actually have no idea how they decided matches. But then my older brother would keep track of everything. My little brother was in charge of the matches.
You know who my world champion was for most of the 4 years? Believe it or not, Mossman. Not even lying. Mossman was ahead of... I didn't actually have He-Man. I had Adam.
He's such a heel, though. I mean, he was... Did you do it? I think they did like ringside interviews though. Did you do those?
Yeah. I had angles of people coming in and attacking.
We're gonna get emails that there's like 100 other people that listen to the show that have done this too.
Oh, probably. But well, here's the thing. The thing I like is I don't want to tell. Actually, I don't like. I'm not going to say to you, say your whole little brother is too old. I'm not going to say to you the last age I was when I did this. I will not publicly announce how old I was the last time I pulled out those and went, shit, that was fun. Put them on my thing, started playing, rustling them and realizing I should get out the paper and start keeping track. Wait, how old am I?
Who was on the card this morning? That's my question.
That's right. Who currently?
Oh man! Those toys
is perennial.
Spike Orr was like the top heel. You remember him? Spike Orr. Yeah, and I used to when they started breaking, and then I'd have to be like, he's now a one-armed wrestler. It's okay. We'll just keep using him. He'll be a storyline.
My little brother and I used all of our Star Wars.
It was devastating.
All of our G.I. Joes. To do a sequel to Star Wars. And now, in 2015, if Star Wars 7 is not as good as what we invented with our G.I. Joes, in my mind, I'm going to hate that movie.
Or if it's not your Star Wars.
It won't be my Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you're geekiest, then you compiled database-wise.
No, this isn't database, but it is geeky and embarrassing. so I'll share it. I took the first 10 years of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues. And if you remember back in the day, it was just the section, a section of Sports Illustrated.
That was wasn't a full thing.
Yeah. I decided I took the first 10 issues and made my own Sports Illustrated. Just took the swimsuits out and made my own Sports Illustrated.
Did you do like a whole binding to it or just staple it? Or
I used masking tape.
Nice.
That's pretty good. And you know what? I remember this was, we were probably like, we were like in our early 20s or mid 20s even then. I think we were in our early 20s. You and I worked together at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were like in our early 20s. And at one point in time, you came into me and you were saying, and you're like, I finally did it. I finished compiling my list that I've been working on. I'm like, what's the list? Well, I watched every James Bond movie. And I judged, basing on the James Bond, which movie was the most Bond and which character is the most Bond. Like, if he slept with a woman, 2 points. He slept with the same woman twice, 5 points. Like you had this entire thing.
I have a... Keep going.
Yeah, keep... And I just, you were like, if he says shaken, not stirred, 3 points. If he says, you know... And I remember you had this whole elaborate thing to figure out the most Bond-isms in a movie and per character and who was the most Bonded. And that was when I really looked at you and went, holy shit, I'm working with a geek. Like, Keith is a geek beyond any level that I knew. Like, that was
there
what
were
I,
no
that it really occurred to
there
me.
There were no points involved in
okay.
I kept track, but there were no points.
Okay. Okay, well, you saved it then.
And you know
it wasn't that bad.
You know what's funny was I was going to interrupt you because I had lost track of the conversation. And I was about to say, oh, I did something like that.
Yes, you did.
There were no points involved. I'd like to be clear.
Okay, so then how did you do it?
What I kept track of was how many times... If he said shaken, not stirred. If he ordered a vodka martini, actually, was, I think, the category. What I also discovered, though, is once you get into the Moore movies, how many times he loses the Walther PPK versus how many times he actually uses it. And Moore basically never used it, but lost it within 5 minutes of getting it in any movie. It was just something about, like, I mean, they move more away from being the violent assassin so much.
Yeah.
He lost his gun almost immediately in any movie he was in.
Yeah, so this is though, when you're explaining to me this whole thing. Because you had sat down and watched all of them at the time, like 22 movies.
Wouldn't you
be writing them down. What's that?
Probably 16, 17. It would have been during the.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
The Brosnans. Brosnan did up to 20. So
yeah, it would have been during the Brosnans. So yeah, I probably was 17 or 16, somewhere in that range. But yeah, that you would sit there and write this down and track this and track who's. I was like, wow. So that counts as quality geek right there. I appreciate it.
Also,
fist bump.
Also, everyone who's killed in a Friday the 13th movie and how
you did that. Yeah,
which I kept until I found someone who did it better than I had done it, and that was the end of that.
Nice. Yes. And remember, this is all before internet, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the internet saved us, because now...
Well, yeah, I mean, the internet was there, but it was barely, you know...
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
See, I'll just mention that I remember a time when Mo and I were both into the wrestling, and we created a dice-based wrestling game.
From scratch. That game was awesome.
It was very...
I don't care what anybody says, that was awesome.
No, I wish I could remember it to this day, because I'm willing to bet that we would still play it. But the best part was that we created our characters, we actually, like, wrote their entire bios. But then, afterwards, what we would do is we created ring entrance music. We had ring entrance music. And so, we would sit there with a ghetto blaster, and we would just play the song.
As that guy was entering. And Brett's character would enter, and his good, I'd be a good guy. And then my character would enter, and we'd play my music. I'd be the bad guy. Yeah, and then we'd have this, yeah.
Now, did you guys ever play fantasy wrestling?
We created our own. We couldn't have, the thing was, those ones you could get in the magazines or whatever... I tried one once and it was no good, and because a friend of mine had it, and then you could order those, but they were really, really expensive. So we thought, why the hell would we bother to order these? We just create our own, and that's what we did. And I still think, I don't remember how we did it, but I really think we had a good
system. I had a friend
system.
In university yeah. used to send off his card in the mail.
Yeah.
And then according to some sort of stat that
they would win or lose. Yeah.
They'd win or lose. And
yeah.
Oh no, if I could remember... then honestly, I actually think we could.
Yeah, we had like a different way. Like it, you'd have you'd have certain amount of points for the guy. The guy could go up in his career.
Was, oh no! Like, it, yeah, yeah, I mean, it totally worked.
Yeah, don't invite energy any of those if you ever remember.
My, his my energy brother, and when they got down to like if you had 80 energy points and the guy pinned him and you rolled in between like 5 and 11 or whatever, he would kick out. And then
smaller 60, guys had more energy.
Yeah, and when he had, had 60 energy points, you'd have to roll between a 5 and a 9, and then you know like to kick out. This just progressed, and I remember when Brett would pin me. I remember I had a champion. It was. Had like 140 energy points yet. The only thing that wouldn't pin, I had to roll a 2 sixes, a 12. I had to roll that or snake eyes. It was snake eyes. I had to roll 2 snake eyes in order for him to win. And 2 seconds in, he beat me. And I was so pissed that I lost my belt.
But I, when I was a kid, I got a this toy box that had a plastic play sheet of a dungeon. Like a castle dungeon, really scary, and it came with these plastic figurines that were like an orc, and there was a dragon for the center part. It was kind of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I remember this. Something like this.
It was just a fun thing. But my older brother had heard of Dungeons and Dragons, but had never actually come across it in real life. So he and my younger brother and I invented a dice based game. For this play sheet, thinking we were playing Dungeons and Dragons. So we basically like invented a whole new game we called Dungeons and Dragons using this play sheet. And the first time I encountered real Dungeons and Dragons, I'm like, oh my god, there's a lot of math to this. Like, don't just roll dice.
Awesome.
That's great.
All right. And Brett, I seem to remember, we would lock up, the guy who rolled highest would lock up, he'd be the one allowed to put an offensive move.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Depending on how high your defensive level was, you could counter it. Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm just going to tell one little last story because, you know, why not? There was one time where I was working at Stage West, and there was this dishwasher there, and we became vague friends. I joined his band. And
I like to put your friends in quotation marks. It should be expressed to the folks at home.
I find band in quotation marks.
That's funny because Brett and I were in a band all through high school. I mean, we never once had instruments on. But we wanted to be in a band, and we had ideas for songs.
Brett,
if we ever get around to this. We ever get around to
a band for a year and a half, and then we had a schism.
Yeah,
and just to save our friendship, we had to break up.
Yeah, we had to stop going out on tour so much. But so this guy, he was really big into like the Robotech, which was like same kind of element as D&D. But what he actually had done was he had taken like several games of the dice-based variety, and he had actually kind of amalgamated them all. I mean, it was really, I'm sure it was extremely clever and stuff like that, but he invited me over, and I created my character, and I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. And he had a place, and he had it almost entirely dedicated to this. You know, should have had the warning bells going off right there. But then, we go on, and I just created the character. I had to leave after that. But then he sits me down and he starts describing his plan on how he was going to assassinate the mayor. And I'm like,
oh my god.
I'm scratching my head. I left his house and I'm like, I don't think I can go over there anymore.
No, ever. I don't think you can.
Brett, I'd like you to show me on this Captain Canuck comic where he touched you.
And then the funny thing was is that I managed to avoid him for a while after that. You know, I love Stage West, whatever. But for about every 5 years, for about 15 years afterwards, I would hear from him almost like, just like an anniversary date. Like, he would call and be like, so, how's it going? And then, thankfully, I don't hear from him anymore, but it was just very creepy, but it just reminded me of, like, this moment in his house where, you know, the warning bell should have gone off right away when I saw how much of it was dedicated to these games, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just out of curiosity, what did he have against the mayor?
I have no idea. That was the worst part. He just had a really intricate plan on how to assassinate the mayor. I think it might have been an offline.
Oh, well, in fairness. I mean, if it was Al Dewar, then I would really wonder. But
Ralph Klein's understandable. Yeah.
I'm looking up to the
skylight,
and there's a big spider in the middle of the skylight, and I'm wondering which of us gets superpowers.
Excellent.
He wasn't there when we started the night, but
he's come out. He's well, hopefully get rid of some of the bugs that come out.
What's the next on the list?
Before we do, Brett, I just have to say now. So remember when we had already created our own wrestling game where I loved it. It was fun. And we finally got, actually, from Tramps, because I used to play Dungeons & Dragons every now and then, so did you. Not much, though, but enough that we had fun playing it whenever we played it. I was like, it was awesome. You and I got the Marvel Superheroes one. We're going to be Spider-Man. We go to play it. We play it for, like, an hour or two, and we're like, God, this is boring. Want to go play Contra?
Yeah.
Like, all this hype for forever, we wanted to play it.
I did that, too.
Yeah.
And you played, like, you bought, like, $50 worth of the crap.
Yeah,
you
know, so much just junk. I had to buy them on installments because it was...
Yeah, and then so you finally expensive. Play it and you're like, it's not fun.
You cut out all the figures and you got the map.
There was a lot of stuff. I remember constructing stuff for that, but never playing.
I spent way more time constructing than I did playing.
I was like, exactly, and I'm just like, oh man, let's just go play Contra. This is not working.
All you want to do is just create your own goddamn characters.
Yeah.
Like, that was really it. I want to create my own superhero.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was lame.
All right, Brett. Still on topic, where were we?
Well, we have the last
Thank you for that brief aside.
So yes. We have the last one on Genesis, which ties us into the Super Nintendo, which I will say is the Tick.
Oh, didn't that actually, wasn't the Super, or was it Genesis, not the Death and Return of Superman, or is that on Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it was on there. Yeah, the Tick, and it's almost, we talk about the games being different. What we didn't talk about here, because you must have missed it then, because there is one game that's on both systems, and that's Wolverine Adamantium
Rage. Oh, yes, it's not actually on this list.
Oh, I don't know how that got missed. It must have been...
Well, that was just crap.
It's on the Super Nintendo.
Let's talk them both when we get to the Nexus.
Okay, we'll talk when we get to the Nexus.
Let's talk the Tick, because
I want to... The Tick is very similar. The Tick is... And you can talk on this if you play this.
I didn't play the Tick.
Oh, it's too bad.
I can't believe you didn't play the Tick.
I think I put it last because I wanted to build up to it and then forgot about it entirely.
Oh, yeah, that would happen.
The Knights of a Million Billion Ninjas.
That was actually the name of it. Guess what? You took on ninjas. Yeah,
now I am really disappointed.
On the top of a bus, you took out ninjas.
Yeah, and then after, okay, you guys go first, and then I'm the main event on this one. Trust me.
Well, I don't know if it was a problem with the emulator, but it made me play the first level twice, despite the fact that passed.
Oh yeah,
and then I finally died on the second level's boss. Who I didn't recognize, who ran really, really fast.
That actually wasn't a... I don't think that was a boss. That's a sub-story. That's the subplot.
That's the subplot. Yeah.
This game had... That was one of the neat things about this game. Brett, go ahead and explain it.
Well, because what had happened to me was that I got through the early part of A Night of a Million Billion Ninjas, which is you fighting the ninjas on the bus. Now, on top of the bus. Now, what I will say about this, which was very annoying... More so, I was worse on it on the Genesis than the Super Nintendo, but perhaps that was because I played the Genesis one first. But you're on the bus, you're punching and kicking the ninjas, and then what would happen is that you would get just that little bit too close to the sides, and you'd start going like this, wobble, 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 and the next thing you know, there was no way to save yourself on it. You just automatically fell off the bus at that point. But the next level... And now here's kind of where I died, because at the end of the day, I ran into a ledge that I couldn't beat. But after you fall off, there's a point where it just throws you into a subplot. Now, I've seen like four different subplots. There was the Clark character.
Yeah, played the Clark.
Where you needed to grab the Kryptonite thing. There was the Red Scare, which was kind of easy. There was the speed one, which I never actually managed to defeat. I wasn't sure what to do. And then there was one other character, which I can't remember. But every time, like, you complete a subplot, and then after you completed the subplot, it kicks you back to the main game. But then I kept dying in the main game, and it kept kicking back to a subplot, and eventually I'm just like, ah, screw that, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, though. I mean, it's a neat idea. Like, this game was, like, such a near miss. Like because, I mean, it had the character, like, the character, based very much on, like, I mean, it had everything right. He says spoon.
Totally.
That was the most impressive thing about the game. We actually had a voice saying spoon, which on the Genesis was really advancing their technology.
It had these different characters. There's a point where you get a character, other characters, and you fight back to back with them. You have all these, like he jumps like the Tick would jump, and different animations for different jumps. Sometimes, you know, like just different things. Like, so much of the character's personality is there. But the problem is that the collision detection in this game was the worst thing ever. Like, you'd punch and punch. You'd have a guy right in front of you. You'd be punching them like 40 times. Punch around them. Punch. You'd move up and down trying to get on the right level to punch him. Try and punch him. You'd still be punching at this ninja and never hitting him. And he'd be hitting you. And you don't know why. Or you'd line up and you start punching him. You'd punch him two times. You'd go for your big finisher. Was just like flicking your finger, because he's supposed to be so strong, flicking him off. But then that's like doesn't go very far, so he just misses. And then they start beating you up again.
Yeah, it's back to the Wolverine 1-inch punch.
Not even that good. Boy, I wish my chair wasn't so squeaky. It's going to be all over the podcast. But yeah, I mean, I finally got to the second level, which is like this platforming level there, and you're jumping. So I get to the end of I'm going through it, I'm fighting through it. I get to there. I get to this. I see this big jump, right? So I go running up, and I jump my ass off. Because I can't see where I'm supposed to jump to. So I'm like, it must be just a huge jump. Let's make the biggest jump I can make. Get right to the edge of the ledge, jump my ass off, and I die. And then I go to the subplot, and I go and win that. And I get back up to the beginning, and I'm like, okay, I died. So I got to go a little more carefully to the edge of this ledge. Maybe I'm missing something. So I walk slowly to the edge of the ledge, and then it goes, level over. Level complete. You're just supposed to walk to the end of the ledge.
That's funny.
The problem was that I tried to jump, and in doing so, somehow missed the end of the level.
That's what I did all the whole time.
But yeah.
In both versions of the game.
Yeah.
I made it to the exact same place, and that was all that happened for me. I kept winding up in subplots. And yeah. And eventually, I had had enough of
them. That's it. You just, the ledge. If you had just, Brett, the problem was you kept jumping at that ledge. You just needed to walk to the end of it. It would have said, level complete. You were over. You just didn't know it. So frustrating. But there's no way to know. There was no distinction. So, all right, let's move on to the Super Nintendo game. So what do we got here?
Well, there was one Spider-Man game, the Return of the Sinister Six, which wasn't really, it just wasn't very good.
Was this the one that was the Japanese?
It was
actually
a Japanese. So yes.
We accidentally had a Japanese ROM that we were playing. So I mean, that definitely, like, the presentation at the beginning, like the storyline, the different things they're doing, looked like it's probably pretty cool.
Oh, there was a Japanese and there was a Spanish one too, but.
Yeah, I think I tried to fix the Japanese one, dropped the Spanish one in, and then it was still just another language, which didn't... Spanish or Japanese, it's all Greek to me.
I had more luck with the Spanish. I was able to sort more of the Spanish out.
But I remember playing this...
El Hombre Spider. Yes, okay, I know what we're doing. Electro, already in Spanish.
Yeah. Hawkeye.
This one's got lots of, like, robots. And like you jump along and you punch these robots. Eventually, you had this flying robot that would like dive bomb you, and you would punch up at it, but you couldn't punch as high as he was, and you couldn't jump and kick him either. So the key to beating him was to walk past him. But
oh, that's what I was doing wrong. I tried to actually engage.
Punch him. I know, I did too. Like the first two times I died, I'm like, I should hit him. I know, I'm firing subs. I'm like, finally, I just go, you know what? I just walk past him. But then you walk past him, and you get to the building, you jump on the building, you start climbing up, and then you get to a ledge, and Spider-Man gets to the top of the ledge and cannot lift himself over this. Once again, Spider-Man's most deadly enemy, the ledge, rears his ugly head. You cannot, as I physically am trying to lift myself over an edge.
God, it's a 90-degree angle. What am I going to do?
I have never, for all of, like, I will never understand this, the concept that we actually play these games for fun.
At one like, point. You,
that was my one thought while playing all these games was, I used to do this for fun.
Yeah, like, this was
fun. Fuck, I was stupid.
This is because it makes no sense anymore. Like, you're just like, and at one point, this was cutting edge technology that we were dealing with, that we were looking at, that Spider-Man jumping
on. The thing is, I talked to Brett about it, and Brett tried a billion different things to get over that ledge and couldn't. I jumped to the left, and then immediately pressed to the right, and while I was still in the air, jumped up over the edge that way. And I was like, oh, that's how you do it. And then I went on. I kept on fighting different enemies and engaging ones. I sort of just walked past. And I get to the end, and that's the beetle. That's the boss level. And I had like a sliver of energy. And I kicked his ass right till he had a sliver of energy left. Because he was the easiest part of the game. So much easier than that dive bombing guy.
I mean, how was that easy? Okay. You can get him right
to the end. But I couldn't. But I had no energy left, so he killed me.
No, you could get him right to the end, but then he starts flying and just zapping straight down, and there was no way you could do it.
You could beat him, because you have no energy left. Oh,
stupid game.
But I love the fact, and this is the greatest thing, is that it inspires, like, actual passion.
Because like, you're pissed off because it should be easy. And you keep on going. I keep on going to myself. It's like, are these games really that hard? Or was I that much better and I'm that much stupider now? Like, what?
See,
I can't figure out.
Now you're gonna pick up Superior Foes of Spider-Man, get to page 2 and, like, the Beatles, and you're like, fuck you. There's no way that I'm reading this.
I want to know
that given the way that some of these games were, if we had less games, like if we'd actually only chose like 5 games, how much longer would we have?
Yeah, would we have tortured ourselves going, like, would I really try to solve this and go through this, or would I still say this is too hard and give up?
No, yeah, I feel like you would have said, like, oh, screw that, I can totally get this. I'm going to get the Beetle. I'm totally going
to
get
it. Because we had so many games to get to, we're just like, ah, whatever. But no, Brett, you couldn't get past a ledge.
Yeah.
So I think that...
I gave up on ledges.
There's another one that I gave up earlier than that, so...
Yeah.
This one coming up.
No, I got... because...
I know which one it is. Oh, I know which one it is. Yeah.
The next
one... Oh, my God.
So I got... there's several. But Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. We talked quickly about it.
The
Nintendo game's not as good because it's a little
more... It's really damn good, though. Like,
but it is...
Very close. Like, and again, I thought...
If you have people to play with... You know, and not just...
It's funny, because Chris was mentioning, he seems to remember that
The Turtles are legendary bad video games.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I remember maybe Attack of the Show mentioning it, I'm not a video game player, that historically, the Turtles games are not remembered fondly.
Well, see, I remember the opposite. I remember that these side-scrolling beat-em-ups were, like... Really, really fondly remembered that these were up there with the Streets of Rage and the Final Fights and these different ones that,
you know,
as people's favorites.
The only one that I ever remember, honestly, is Turtles in Time. Like, and I remember that being, you know, I seem to remember that being well respected.
Well, that's another one. Perhaps it's the other. It's not on this list, but there was the other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hyperion Heist.
Oh, the Hyperstone.
Hyperstone Heist that's on the Genesis.
Yeah.
And I tried playing that, and it's awful. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can see why. Like, it's really
stiff. Well, the other one for Nintendo was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
I think the quote I heard was when they were reviewing a turtle fighting game.
Hey, Chris, where's that... you're empty. You need this one? This chocolate?
I'm going to go get a beer from the fridge. A beer run. Who needs a beer?
No, I don't need that. I'm just wondering. Well, I was just seeing you need a beer, and I'm thinking this chocolate bunny around. Anyway,
chocolate bunny would be full of dead wasps right now.
Yeah. I hope so. Serve those wasps right. I don't know who you'd feel sorry for. The wasps with the chocolate bunny. But yeah, no, this is really good. I mean, the best thing about these, the funnest thing about these is... When you grab one of those ninjas and you toss it towards the screen and it comes flying
totally.
Up the screen,
that
I love that. Every that single time
great.
It feels great.
Yeah, that was absolutely awesome. Like, just really nice job with the game and, like, just the design of the game.
Yeah, it played exactly like the arcade version. It's just that the graphics are a little less. Not too bad. The sound is much less. That was the big part, the cutscenes and the sound. But really, like, the gameplay is totally there.
How the hell did our eardrums survive the MIDI era?
We knew no better.
Oh my god.
You know, I mean, it's interesting to think that, you know, I'm playing these games with a 5-year-old around, and I mean, you know, he'll go up and play like a new video game, and I mean, it just devastates everything, like,
yeah, you
know, that I'm playing here. I mean, the funny thing is that on the regular Nintendo, it was the Genesis, I think, these games are 760 kilobytes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even a meg in size.
Your phone could play these.
Oh, my phone is way smarter than it. Like,
I can text these.
Yeah, like, that's it. This is an email right there, you know, and like, yeah, smaller than an email. And it just blows my mind that they actually fit any data in these things whatsoever.
Yeah, even the arcade games, which were considered to be more advanced, are about the same size, really.
Yeah. They might be a bit. So we have the Incredible Hulk.
Don't let it be so loud.
Too late now, Chris. You're a drink. Your drink down on the table. I'm like, I'm talking about the future. You have to move it onto that now.
Yeah, but you wouldn't take the.
Oh my God,
I go. I know
awesome.
What you're saying. Signal. You just kept the. It's the only way I could shut you up.